of Zacchaeus. There we go. Story of Zacchaeus. Okay. Good. All right. User error again. What are you going to do with me? Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at the first 10 verses of this text. The story of Zacchaeus. And I was talking with Barb on Sunday morning. I said, well, what did the children learn in the children's classes this week? And she said, Zacchaeus. So then she approached me Sunday night and she showed me the activities that the children were engaged in during Bible class. And one of them was a tree and it had little flaps that you could open up. And you're looking for Zacchaeus as you open up the flaps. So if you're interested in, you know, taking home a copy of that activity, just see Barb. I'm sure she'd be happy to provide a copy of that for you. We know the song, Zacchaeus, a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. I'm sure it's a favorite of the children in the room tonight. It's a song that I grew up singing as well. It's a famous story. It's a popular story. And we find the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And it's all of 10 verses. The story of Zacchaeus is devoted 10 verses, dedicated 10 verses in the scriptures. But what we find in this passage is that he and Jesus have a special exchange here. They have a special relationship between the two of them. So let's go ahead and jump right into the text. Luke chapter 19. I'm so thankful that you are here tonight. I'm thankful and blessed to have the opportunity to stand before you this evening. I pray that you all had a great day today. The weather was great again until the rain came, but it cooled things down a little bit. So thankful that you are here and you've put spiritual things first this evening. But let's begin Luke chapter 19. Your Bibles are there, mine as well, in verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to his house, to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So the crowd is following Jesus at this point, and Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Why is he on his way to Jerusalem? His death is imminent. The triumphal entry, or more appropriately, his death march is going to occur later in this chapter. Jesus has much on his mind, and there's a large multitude following him. And what we find, not just in Luke chapter 19, but in Luke chapter 18, there are men who are seeking after Jesus. The very end of Luke chapter 18, a blind man is healed. Mark's account of that text tells us it's Bartimaeus. These are men who are seeking after Jesus because they know that Jesus can provide what they need. And we learn of Zacchaeus here in Luke chapter 19, a guy who is desperately seeking Jesus, and his life changed, and his life changed forever because of this encounter with Jesus. And the question we must ask ourselves tonight as we begin, are we seeking Jesus? Are we seeking Jesus to the extent that Zacchaeus sought Jesus? So let's break down this text verse by verse and then take some lessons away this evening. The lesson will be yours. The first phrase I want to focus on is in verse 2. Luke tells us that he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. This is the only time in the New Testament where we read this phrase, he was a chief tax collector. We read tax collector and publicans throughout the New Testament. But there's a distinction that's made about Zacchaeus and who he was and what his profession was. And Jews hated men like him, a man who had authority, a man who had a lot of pull, because he was working for the Roman government and taking advantage of the Jewish community. They were greedy and they charged more than the Roman Empire demanded. They were known as corrupt. They were thieves. They were embezzlers. They were dishonest. And they cared more about the almighty dollar than about the almighty God. And not only did the Jews not like taxes, but also the way that they were collected. It was like a pyramid scheme. It was around 2,000 years ago. Well, the chief tax collector would tell his guys, go out and collect this much money. But I get some of it myself. And you get to save a little bit yourself. You get to keep some of it. But I'm going to take some off the top right away. And many times they took more than what they really needed to. And the Jews didn't know how those taxes were calculated. Does that sound familiar? So the Jews despised tax collectors. They were considered the worst sinners. And if you were a chief tax collector, you were bad news. So the verse 3, read this about Zacchaeus. He sought to see who Jesus was. Let's stop there for a moment. Monday night, we looked at the question, are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? A fan of Jesus tries, a follower of Jesus trains. We defined what that word try means. Webster defines try as to make an attempt or effort to do something. But in this case, because your version may render it, Zacchaeus tried to seek after Jesus. But in this case, try in the Greek is defined as a pursuit, a passion, a drive, that nothing was going to stop Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. It was a want to. But then Luke goes out of his way to tell us about Zacchaeus's physique. He was short in stature, and his height put him at a disadvantage. Remember, you've got this large crowd following Jesus. People who are blind and they're lame and they're sick. And they're seeking Jesus for healing. And his height put him at a disadvantage. So what does he do? He ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree. The sycamore tree is the largest deciduous tree in the eastern United States. 75 feet to 100 feet tall. The trunk is about 10 feet in diameter, and its size makes it great for shade. They're oftentimes found alongside open areas or streams. So you've got a guy who is wealthy, he's powerful, he has authority, and he's willing to climb a tree to see Jesus. And in verse 5, Jesus says, I must stay at your house. Jesus has a divine appointment with this rich chief tax collector. But then notice what Jesus says in verse 5 and how Zacchaeus responds. In verse 5, he says, make haste and come down. And what's interesting is that Luke records in verse 6 the very same phrase. So he, being Zacchaeus, made haste and came down. That's a detail, brethren, that we can't overlook. That Zacchaeus obeyed. Zacchaeus didn't argue with Jesus. He didn't question Jesus. Because he had climbed up that tree to see Jesus. And Jesus gave him a commandment And he obeyed the commandment of Jesus. Moving along in verse 6, Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. You would think with his job, his wealth, wouldn't he receive some ridicule? Wouldn't he receive some ridicule for seeking after Jesus this way? Of course he had to have known that. But Zacchaeus was willing to put everything aside. His power, his authority, because he saw the value in Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus. He wanted to spend time with Jesus. Of course, the crowd recognizes this, and they claim, this man is a sinner. This man is a sinner. Tax collectors, if you think about some text in the New Testament, tax collectors were often lumped in with sinners. The phrase is found quite a bit in the New Testament. Publicans and sinners, or publicans and harlots. Jesus was oftentimes accused of eating with tax collectors and sinners. Again, people didn't look at tax collectors in a good light, in a positive light. That's why they respond the way they respond in verse 7. This man is a sinner, and a chief publican was considered to be the worst of the worst. And their attitude is reflected in verse 7. They're outraged. They complain. They grumble when they hear those words. How could Jesus go and stay at this guy's house? Doesn't Jesus know who this guy is? He's a cheater. But in verse 8, Zacchaeus makes the biggest decision of his life. He says, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Half of the possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, if I have defrauded anyone, I will repay them fourfold. You know, the law of Moses required various fines for different types of theft, but the amount that he set was higher than what the law of Moses required. So these aren't minor changes that he decides to make in his life. These are major changes. It wasn't that he reached in his pocket and found some loose change and gave to those who he cheated. These are major changes that Zacchaeus is determined to make in his life. And that's repentance. That's transformation. And repentance desires to right previous wrongs whenever possible. His heart is so changed by this invitation from Jesus that he's moved to act. And the new heart that he had led to generosity. Well, how does Jesus respond to him? He praises Zacchaeus. Salvation has come to this house. This chief tax collector, who's hated by the Jewish community, is now praised by the Savior. He's now a descendant, a true descendant of Abraham. So now that we've established this story and learn some of the context and set the scene, what I want us to do for the remainder of our time tonight is look at three lessons from Zacchaeus and then three that we can take away from Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. And the first thing that we learn about Zacchaeus, he's just a normal guy. And really none of us can really measure up. Zacchaeus, he was the wee little man. A wee little man was he. He was vertically challenged. But how I want us to think about this story, none of us really measure up. Reminds me of what Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When it comes to God's standard, we are all we little people. We all fall short of God's standard. But the first step in salvation is recognizing that in our own goodness, we can never measure up. That we need Jesus. Zacchaeus recognized that. He needed Jesus. But secondly, we all seek something. We all seek something. Something was missing in his life. He was a desperate man. He was rich and he was dignified. But what do we find Zacchaeus doing? Look in your text again in verse 4. Look at the words, he ran and he climbed. That is how desperate Zacchaeus was. Desperate people run. If you're at the airport and you've got 10 minutes to get from one end of the airport to the other to reach your connecting flight, you're not walking. You're not strolling. You're running because you don't want that gate to close without you on that plane. We would be desperate in that situation. Desperate people run. But you know what also desperate people do? They climb trees. And that's what he did. He was desperate enough to see Jesus that he climbed the sycamore tree. I'm sure all of us climbed a tree or two when we were younger. We were kids. We had a tree in the backyard, and I climbed that tree until I was about 10 or 11 years old. But how many of us adults in a room climb trees for fun? We wouldn't do that unless desperate times called for desperate measures. You're chased by a vicious dog or something like that. We'd climb a tree to get away. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and that's what Zacchaeus did in this text. How much he wanted to seek Jesus. Zacchaeus had an itch in his heart that all his wealth could not scratch. You're probably familiar with a publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. You know how you get those letters in the mail and say that you're a millionaire? I remember getting those as a kid and thinking that we had hit the jackpot. But if you're familiar with that layout, it's just a computer-generated letter. And what they do is they just insert your name in three or four different places. And it makes it look that letter to you is personal. But they send it to millions and millions of people all across the country. There's a story been years ago where a computer-generated personal letter arrived at a church near Tampa, Florida. And the church got this letter that said, "Dear God, God, we've been looking for you. You are a finalist to receive our $11 million sweepstakes. So don't just sit there, God. Return your sweepstakes form today." The Tampa Tribune interviewed the preacher of that church, who said he didn't plan on returning the form because God already had at least $11 million. But the phrase in that letter that stands out to me and should stand out to you is, "God, we have been looking for you." Are you seeking Jesus? You know, oftentimes people try to fill that void in their life with money, with relationships, their career, maybe sadly alcohol or drugs. But what they need to fill that void is God. Zacchaeus recognized that. We find that in Luke chapter 19 and verse 3, Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. "God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The seeking that the scriptures teach of is not a passive action. It's to make every effort. It's to strive, to fight the good fight, to press on, to work out your own salvation. There aren't any verses in the Bible that tell us the coast to eternal life. That eternal life is given to those who seek and seek diligently. Third and final point about Zacchaeus is this: we can overcome limitations. We can overcome limitations. Jesus was so significant to Zacchaeus that Zacchaeus was not conquered by his limitations. In fact, Zacchaeus conquered his limitations. Well, what were his limitations? Well, he was short. He was wealthy. He was powerful. He had a lot of influence. He had authority. But Zacchaeus didn't allow those limitations to keep him from seeking Jesus. What if you're at your job and you're performing, you know, you're mediocre because you're constantly complaining about the limitations? I can't do this because of that. I can't do that. What's your supervisor going to do? He's going to find, or she's going to find someone to replace you. I worked in the media industry for 13 and a half years and worked for a great company. They treated me really well. But what if I said, I needed a newer phone. I need a newer iPhone to take better video or photos or to record my interviews. I need a faster computer. I need a higher mileage reimbursement. I need 56 cents and not 36 cents. My supervisor would have found someone else to replace me with. Brother, we allow our limitations to limit us. Zacchaeus had limitations, but he didn't offer any excuses. He sought after Jesus. Everyone has limitations, but those limitations, do we allow them to define who we are? And when we fail to overcome our limitations and rather use them as an excuse, we are saying that God hasn't given us the power to overcome those limitations. Because our God is faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can live in fear and timidity. We can box ourselves in. And God knows our limitations. God's the one who created us. But he's confident in our ability to overcome those limitations. Zacchaeus did. Can we? But let's learn three things about Jesus tonight as well. And the first one is this. He knows you. He knows you. Turn back to the text in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. He knows you, and he knew Zacchaeus. Don't you like it when somebody calls you by your name? What does that show? What does that demonstrate? Brother Joe and Brother Dale and Sister Lisa, when we say someone's name, that means that there's a connection, that there's a relationship, that there's friendship, that there's intimate knowledge of one another. We don't like it when somebody says, hey you, hey guy. Notice what Jesus says to Zacchaeus. He calls him by his name. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The very first word that he says to Zacchaeus is his name. And that, to me, shows that Jesus, he cares. And it's very personal to Jesus. He makes it personal between he and Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus being who he was as a chief tax collector, I'm sure he was called many, many names that we could not mention up here from the pulpit because he was hated. Jesus shows his personal touch by calling him by his name. Turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. The beautiful thing about our relationship with Jesus is that he knows who we are. He knows our name. He knows everybody's name. We don't have to wear a name tag for God. He knows us. And in fact, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. In fact, he knows how many hairs you have on your head. Go to Luke chapter 12. We referenced this text last night in our lesson on the parable of the rich fool. Read with me verses 6 and 7. I've got 7 on the board behind me, but let's read verse 6 as well. Are not five sparrows, this is Luke chapter 12, and verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now, a sparrow was one of the cheapest items that you could purchase in the marketplace. Even though their value was low, Jesus says they're not forgotten by God. God's people are, of course, are more valuable than those sparrows. God takes care of those sparrows. He's, of course, going to take care of us. But look at verse 7. But the very hairs of your head are more numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. And that's the phrase I want to focus in on for a moment is verse 7, that first section. He knows the number of hairs on your head. That's how detailed our God knows you and knows me. As much as I love my wife, Nicole, and my 2 girls, Alexis and Autumn, I don't think I'd ever have any interest or any time to sit there and count the number of hairs on their head. Now, they joke with me, well, Daddy, it would be easy to count the number of hairs on your head. But we think about just how much God knows about us. He knows everything about us. Every day, hair falls out, yet God knows how many hairs are left and how many are going to grow back. And when it comes to you, He always has time for every little thing about you. He wants you to know that He cares. He has intimate knowledge about you, your health, your family, your finances, your relationships, what motivates you, your strengths and your weaknesses, everything in your life. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the pain that you're having in your body. He's aware of the worry that you have financially. He knows if your supervisor is treating you poorly at work. Your Heavenly Father wants you to know that as long as something concerns you, it concerns Him, that He won't overlook it. You know, sometimes I think we convince ourselves that we're all alone in this world. Nobody knows what's going on in our lives. Nobody cares what's going on in our lives. But there's a loving God who created the universe. There's a loving God who created you, who cares for you. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. He knows you. And He also knows what you need. And what you need is a relationship with Him. Look again with me in our primary text, Luke chapter 19 and verse 5. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Jesus calls His name. He beckons Zacchaeus to come down from the tree. And if you remember with the song at the very beginning, the wee little man, the hand motions that go along with that song, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. And it's kind of done so sternly. I would suggest that the way that Jesus talked to people and the compassion that He showed toward people, that was more like, Jesus, come down. I'm going to your house today. I want you to know who I am. I want you to learn about me. I want to get to know you. And I'm certain many of the citizens of Jericho expected Jesus to deliver a strong rebuke to this little chief tax collector. He's finally going to get what he deserves. But Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn sinners. He came to save them. Instead of condemning Zacchaeus, He just simply said, hey, let's go to your house. Let's spend some time together. Let's be friends. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus wanted to be friends with Zacchaeus, and He wants to be friends with you and I. John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. John chapter 15, 13 through 15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. For I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus wanted to be friends with Zacchaeus. Jesus wants to be friends with you and with me. We don't have the power to make changes that we need to make on our own. But with the help of Jesus, we can make the changes that we need to make in our lives. He did that for Zacchaeus, and He can do that for you. He can do that for me. Third and final point about Jesus is He sees you not as you are, but as you can become. Everybody looked at Zacchaeus. What did they see? They saw a sinner. They saw a chief tax collector. They saw a man who was dishonest and abused his power. You know what the name Zacchaeus means? The name Zacchaeus is defined as pure and innocent and clean. Notice again in verse 9 of our text in Luke chapter 19. Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter is addressing the Sanhedrin there. He says, nor is there salvation in any other, being Jesus, For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is only through Jesus. And that salvation is a cleansing. That salvation makes us pure and makes us holy. And that's what Jesus did for Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't see a crooked tax collector. He saw a man who could become pure and clean. He saw a man who would be so generous that he would give half his money away. Jesus could have said, well, Zacchaeus, you're a thief. Now, after you repent and pay back what you owe to these people with interest and on top of that penalties, I'll come to your house and eat with you. Instead, Jesus said, come, let's get to know each other. And once you get to know me, you'll see yourself in a different light. And then you'll want to make some changes. And Jesus says the same thing to us today. Now, we've all made mistakes. We've got sin in our life. And Jesus is lovingly, lovingly pointing the finger at us and saying, I came to seek and save you. Come on. Let's be friends. And after Zacchaeus gets to know Jesus, he demonstrates that he was a changed man. And he paid everybody back four times what he had stolen. He gave half his money to the poor. He demonstrated his change. You know, it's easy for us to say, well, I've been baptized. I'm a Christian. I've been changed. But is the proof evident? Is it there? In the way that you talk and where you go, in your actions, the way that you think. We must start seeing ourselves as God sees us. Because Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. And when God looks at you today, he sees in you what you can become. The great potential that you have as a child of his. As we conclude our time together, there are two kinds of people. People like Zacchaeus. They're searching for something. They've got that void. They've got that itch, and they're trying to scratch it, but that itch won't go away. If you're that person tonight, you've got that void in your life, you're missing something, Jesus can fill that void. He filled that void in the life of Zacchaeus. He can fill that void in your life tonight. He's here today. He knows you. He loves you. He's calling you by your name. He's saying, I want to have a relationship with you. But many of us in the room are former Zacchaeuses. We have a relationship with Jesus. We may think that this is a nice children's story. But I want us to focus on verse 10 one more time. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So let me pose this question, and we're closed tonight. Are you willing to be a tree to lift people above the crowd so that they can see Jesus? Because it is about people. It is about salvation. We think about that sycamore tree. That sycamore tree was planted perfectly. God placed that sycamore tree perfectly for Zacchaeus to climb up that tree so that he could see Jesus. Our role is like that sycamore tree, to lift people up above the crowd so that they can see Jesus living in you and living amongst brothers and sisters. We know that we can't save people. Only Jesus can. We can't change people. Only Jesus can change people. But our job is to lift people up and then turn things over to Jesus. God has planted a tree. He planted a tree right in the spot so Zacchaeus could see Jesus. And he's planted you somewhere so that other people can see Jesus. Your job, your community, your school, you're placed in those places. You're put in those situations to lift people up so that they can see Jesus. Because Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it's all about people. It has always been about people and will always be about people. And one person in particular, Zacchaeus, he woke up that morning thinking about how much money he could make that day. But he went to bed that night thinking of how much money he could give away. And whenever Jesus had an encounter with someone, Jesus expected change from that person. Zacchaeus changed. Have you changed? Have you changed? Are you desperately looking for something? Because Jesus is here. And you can end your search tonight. You don't have to look any further. Because you're amongst God's people. People who love God. People who honor God. And respect God. You've come to the right place if you are seeking Jesus. What's on your heart tonight? Are you seeking Jesus as you should? If not, what changes do you need to make in your life tonight? Perhaps you're here tonight, you've never put on Christ in baptism. This is an opportunity for you to do just that tonight. Maybe you've given it some thought this week. Maybe you've given it some thought today. The time to do it is right now. To put on Christ in baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life, to be a new creature, to have your sins washed away. And you begin your walk with God tonight. But perhaps you've done that. But there's something amiss in your life, some things in your life that you need to address. And you'd like the brethren here to pray for you and pray with you. I know that they would do so with a loving and caring heart. So if there's anything on your heart tonight, we invite you to come forward as we stand to sing the song that our song leader has chosen.